Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
There is only one power that is above all other powers. There is only one source, and He is the eternal source of what we have need of. Welcome again to the house of the Lord. Tonight I will be ministering to you from Mark chapter number 5, and I distinctively am aware of some great needs that are in this house. Others maybe I am not quite aware of. And so as I preach what I preach, I am fully aware of some of your issues, of some of your problems. But I don't think God directs us, or me, or the man of God, to teach or preach on a subject matter unless God is intent on doing something about the circumstance or situation, or giving us an opportunity to respond to His word or to His spirit or to His name so that we can see the miraculous. And so at the conclusion of my remarks tonight, I want the ministers to be aware and ready, and free yourself up to come and stand across the front of this auditorium on this step with a bottle of oil in your hand. Because we are going to pray tonight. Initially, we are not going to pray for those of you that are struggling spiritually or depressed, and it's not as if that is important, but I really feel like God wants to do a miracle for somebody that has been struggling with a physical illness for a duration of time. And God, to Him, again, time is zero. It means nothing as far as the scope of His ability, because He set the sun, moon in orbit so they could keep a clockwork for you and I. But before those were there, and before there was time, there was God. And when there is no time, there still will be God. And so He can speak into time, and He can do something timeless in time, or He can expedite a healing process, or He can do what we call a miracle and instantaneously reverse damage that has happened in our lives. And I'm thinking tonight of your testimony, Sister Moni, of 30 years having every bone broken from the pelvis down, and God telling you to walk around the church, and you said, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard." But when the Holy Ghost spoke again, she did, and God stretched her leg out, and she doesn't have the limp that she had for 30 years because the healer is in the house. Isn't that wonderful? That's something we know absolutely. So as I preach tonight, I want you to understand I'm not just preaching to fill time, and I'm not just saying this just to say it because I feel like it would be a good idea and we could leave feeling about good about the God we worship. Because it doesn't matter how good we feel about Him, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting. So I read to you from Mark 5 and 30. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from Him. So He turned around in the crowd and He asked, "Who touched my robe?" And His disciples said to Him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Now, He didn't ask, "Who touched me?" But they knew what He was meaning. And He said, "Who touched my robe?" But He kept on looking around to see who had done it. When we reach out to touch Jesus, He's going to reach back to us. He's looking for an opportunity. So we give Him thanks tonight. Thank you, God, for looking at us. Thank you for smiling down upon this congregation tonight. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your word and your spirit that are about ready to work together with our faith to bring the miraculous about. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. So I grew up in a family, and there were five of us children. I was showing somebody pictures this morning of the original car seats for babies. They look like you could get impaled with one of them rather than protected by one of them. And some of you remember that because they were all tubular metal and a few rivets, and they'd fold up, and it was like they were dangerous things. I grew up in the day before them. I grew up in the day before seatbelts were in the back seat of the car as mandatory. That was an option. And of course, my mom and dad didn't purchase the option. And so oftentimes on a trip, we would go somewhere, and sometimes on a long trip, one of the children would sit between mom and dad in the front and the other four of us in the back seat of that 64 Dodge. There wasn't any luxury, there wasn't any extra room, and I can remember distinctly many times, he touched me, she touched me, quit touching me, don't do that. Now, if you would do yourself a favor and just reach over and touch your neighbor. Wow, some of you are aggressive. I'm watching out for you. Now, is it possible for you to reach over and touch your neighbor's clothes and not have them feel that you're doing that? Hey, we worked it out, you know, when we were kids and wrote on the back of a piece of paper, kick me, and learned how to tape it on without the guy. You know, you just bump him at the right time and it worked. Jesus is in a press of a crowd. You know, each part of the normal human body has the ability to sense touch. However, each part of that body has a different threshold for sensitivity. The more sensitive parts of the body are the areas that need the greatest protection. The bottom of your foot is less sensitive than the top of your foot. And for some of us, that's a real good thing. This is so you can walk. The distribution of sensors in the palm of your hand is perfectly designed by God for grasping. And the sensory pressure needed for the human eye to feel is calibrated by God and designed to work in harmony with the eyelid for the response of blinking to protect our eye. Those seemingly useless hairs blanketing in our bodies, however, act as a lever to magnify the sensation of touch. We can discern one one-thousandth of an inch of pressure. Not one one-thousandth of a pound. There's 14 pounds per square inch of pressure on planet Earth of gravity. But one one-thousandth of an inch of pressure on the tip of the hair. Well, you can touch your hair and it doesn't hurt, but you feel it because that sensory perception is there. One tap of the fingernail can let me know if something is steel or metal or fabric or wood, and sometimes whether it is solid surface or hollow. A normal hand can distinguish between a smooth plane of glass and glass that is etched only 1/2500th of an inch deep. Our sense of touch can be trained. For instance, a textile feeler, and they still have them in the plants today, can read easily the difference between burlap and cotton. Of course, you say that may be easy, but he can also pick between silk and satin blindfolded. Because he's been trained to feel. Rubbing his hands over a synthetic fabric, he can detect if the nylon bleed has been increased by as little as 5%. We use our sense of touch to determine a lot of things. We think someone has a fever, and so we touch them with the back of our hand, and we can sense the difference between our temperature and their temperature and tell if perhaps they have a fever. We even use our sense of touch through proximity. Is an article safe to hold? Has it cooled down enough? Is it too hot to touch? If we grab onto it any firmer, would it stick us like a cactus or a porcupine, or would it cut us like a knife blade? And with practice, our eyes shut and in the darkness of night, we can define between complicated items sometimes, like a light switch or an alarm clock or the key fob or even our phone. The sense of human touch and flexibility allows us is amazing. The God we serve has created us in such a marvelous fashion. But when the God we serve came in flesh, he revealed an even more sensitive part of his nature. At the outset of our sermon tonight, I read an excerpt from what was happening. It fills my heart with hope and it gives me faith. Jesus had just fed 5,000 by the sea, or 5,000 plus women and children. He had cast demons out of a man in the tomb, and now he is on his way to heal a sick girl that he had promised to go to the house of. He had gained great notoriety and people were pressing in on him. In fact, the 24th verse of Matthew 5 says, "And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him." They were squeezing the life out of Jesus. He was being carried along by the crowd. They were intent on receiving something from him. They wanted to be close to Jesus. My mind picture is this: a stadium, and it's open seating, and there's more attendees than seats. It's like going into a game. I remember years ago in the soccer arenas, people were pressing in to get in, and they were stampeding one another, and they were suffocating because they wanted to get in and get the seat in the section. There are more people needing Jesus than it seems like he could respond to. You and I feel that way sometimes when we have two or three kids around us, and we say, "Stop. No, I can't answer all your questions at once. One at a time, please." People clamoring. You watch the news media as they're trying for an interview, and every newscaster is shouting their questions, and I'm thinking, that would drive me crazy. And one at a time, they answer the media, and some of them they just ignore. So it would seem sometimes when we come into the house of God, or in knowing that there are millions worldwide that are praying to God at any one moment, that God wouldn't have the time to take time out for you and for me, and he wouldn't have the energy to fix us. But the setup is found in Mark 5 and 24, and Jesus went with this man, and the crowd thronged behind. And there was a woman in the crowd who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. It started out bad, and when she looked for help, it only got worse. I don't know if anybody in here has ever had a day like that, or had a circumstance or situation that went that way. The more you tried to fix it, the less it was fixable. I remember taking apart a camera one time because the flash wasn't flipping. Now, you wouldn't understand that. That was back in the day with the 110 Instamatics where they'd flip around. So I took it apart to fix it. I fixed it. It ended up in the trash eventually because the more I fooled with it, the worse that it got. And sometimes that's the way it is with us. And I'm speaking directly knowing what I'm speaking to you, because some of you are suffering with disease and sickness that the doctors have tried to make it better and it just doesn't get any better. That's not the doctor's fault. It's not because you sinned. It's not because God doesn't care. It's just the way it is. It is because Adam and Eve sinned, and there was entrance into the world granted for disease. Those who claimed to help this woman only decreased her health. She had suffered because of those that had declared remedies, and it had been 12 years, and she had no other options. Everybody say no options. No options. Say that again. No options. There was no way out of her sickness. She had tried absolutely everything. Perfect opportunity for a miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we run out of energy, when we run out of resources, when we run out of our human ability, there is Jesus standing and waiting. But he seemed distracted. He seemed pressed in, and he was. But oh, it takes not much to get the attention of Jesus. And this woman was desperate, for she had nothing to lose. She had lost all of her pride and was determined. She was a force filled with faith. And the Bible says that she reached out to touch the hem or the fringe of his garment. Either cobblestone streets or a dirt path. We don't know what it was, but it couldn't have been comfortable. And she couldn't get through at the top, but she could get through at the bottom. I don't know how many kicks and how many bruises she might have gotten from the crowd that was around there, but these people were carrying Jesus along, and somehow she waded through it. I don't know if she came in the headwind. I don't know if she faced him right on and came, but it seems like from the writer, she was behind him and she was making headway and she was determined. There were elbows and there were pushes and there were grabs, and all she could do was touch what was touching him. That's all she knew she needed. There was no precedence in Scripture. Nobody, there was no record that anybody had ever just touched the hem of his garment and felt virtue or gotten healing or a resolution from their need. Tonight, I believe that we need to erase all expectation of precedence from our mind, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So if you can think it and if you can ask it, then it can be done, because he can go above and beyond that. Because he's God. That's why we worship him. That's why we exalt him. That's why we need him. She'd heard about Jesus. Verse 27 says, and verse 28, she said, she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I will be healed. She hadn't shared with a human being. Sometimes we're afraid to speak it because we'll be thought as kind of kooky. I was told years ago, don't ever express your deepest hurts or your greatest dreams. I don't know that that is a proper thing, but sometimes we don't do it for fear of what others would think. But she just got to thinking, I can't get his attention. I can't maybe get him to stop and touch me, or I can't get him to call my name. But if I could touch the hem of his garment, because it wouldn't be proper to touch the man, but she could touch what was touching the man. She was believing for something she had never seen, she had never heard. It was outrageous. Don't be afraid to believe God for something outrageous, out of the ordinary, because God's not ordinary. You and me, we're ordinary, but God's not ordinary. His thoughts are here. His ways are here, way up above your thoughts and my thoughts. So if you get a crazy thought, it just might be a God thought. It seems wild to us, speaking to the inky blackness of the darkness and say, let there be light. That sounds crazy. No, that sounds God. That sounds like the one who created you and me. That sounds like the one that we worship. That sounds like the one that we know by the name of Jesus, who robed himself in flesh and came to live among man as man so he could impact us. What she was really saying is, if I can, he will. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. I don't know what's been going through your mind concerning your circumstances, but I know that God is able to do more in just a moment's time when the faith of a human being connects with his divinity than mankind can do in generations. So she reached and she stretched and she touched. And I believe the Holy Ghost is talking to someone tonight. And I'm putting it as someone just so you take it personally. That's not to exclude anyone, but that's to speak personally. And the Bible says that she reached out and touched the hem or the fringe of his garment. And most believe it was just a tassel-y little fringe. It wasn't even the substance of his garment. It was something flimsy, something that would just dust around. And verse 29 says, immediately. Everybody say immediately. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel that she had been healed. My question, my statement, or the title of my sermon is, I felt that. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? It's like the day we had an earthquake, and it actually was centered out of Klamath Falls. And I woke up and I saw the chandelier in my bedroom moving and the bed moving. Now the bed moving's not a big deal, but the chandelier moving's a big deal. Did you feel that? And she wasn't even awake. The earthquake happens, and people all over declare that they felt it. They didn't know where it came from. They can't tell you scientifically where the center of it was or how deep it happened in the earth, but they can feel the result of the earth moving. You and I may not be able to tell how God healed us or exactly the science of receiving the Holy Ghost or why or how our sins are washed away. But we feel the forgiveness of God. We feel the love of God. We feel the power of God. And there is so much wonder in my mind and in my spirit that God allows us to feel Him. And sometimes that's all we need, is to feel like if we can just get His attention. Oh, if we can just touch the hem of His garment. She didn't say, if I can get Him to turn around. She didn't say, if I can get Him to call my name or if I can get Him to come to my house. He was already on a mission. He was already going somewhere. God doesn't get distracted, and Him healing you isn't going to diminish His ability to heal the one He's going to heal. Because it happened, the place that He went to still had a miracle, but there was a divine interruption. The disciples were unaware of the woman. Jesus had not seen the woman. He wasn't playing dumb, and the crowd had not paused to take note of this desperate human being. She hadn't told anybody of her mission. She just thought, if I can touch the hem of His garment, if I can get close to what is close to Him, then I will be made whole. Verse number 30, Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out from Him. So He turned in the round in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now I'm going to say this with no disrespect. Sounds like a dumb question. Come here, Brother Joe. Come here, Isaiah. We'll ask you later, Brother Mike. Okay, push me.
Keep going.
Now squeeze me. Come on.
Squeeze her.
Hey, who touched my clothes? You? Did you touch my clothes? He don't want a miracle. Go sit down.
I don't want a miracle.
You do? You want a miracle? You know, see, when you're being jostled about, He's carried along. He's not going where He's wanting to go. The crowd is pushing Him along. And all of that pressure on His being. And He says, who touched my clothes? It's not the fact that somebody had touched Him. It was the attitude with which they reached out and touched Him. And that's what it is with you and me. We can all come into the house of God and raise our hands and feel the glory of the presence of God, and we can just mimic others around us, or we can just sing or say amen or praise the Lord out of habit, or we can come into the house of the Lord and with heartfelt feeling we say, I love You, I praise You, thank You God that You changed my life, You redeemed me. And oh, what a difference of a connection you and I feel when when it comes from our heart. She just touched his clothes. Everybody else was pressing in upon him. And his disciples turned around and said, all this crowd is pressing you. How can you ask who touched me? It didn't make any sense to them. I reiterate, healing, miracles, the way God does what he does, doesn't have to make sense to you and me. It's not about us saying, well, God, when I got it figured out, I'll participate. Forget it. You'll never be saved. Your sins will never be forgiven. They'll never be washed away. We don't get baptized because we understand it all. We get baptized because we have repented of our sins and are willing to submit our life to Jesus Christ. How does it happen? By the blood. There's no blood in that water. But the obedience is where it is at, is that we have submitted to his lordship and say, I don't understand all that happens in the spirit realm, but I do know that you said, if I will repent of my sins and be baptized in your name, I am promised the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's noteworthy that there was a great crowd. And Jesus said, who touched my clothes? That sounds so ridiculous to me. That sounds so trite. Jesus was near being suffocated. But faith touched the hem of his garment. And faith that touched the hem of his garment touched his heart. Now, I know that many emotions can be coming into our heart today. You and I could be thinking, well, that was then and this is now. I want to address that. I want to address the elephant in the room. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's my sermon. That's not rocket science, that's truth. That means if he did it yesterday, he can do it today. And when he does it today, he'll still be able to do it tomorrow because he does not change. The Bible says there is no shadow of turning in him. There's not even a hint that he's going to be something different tomorrow than what he is today. That's good news. That's great news for you and I today, because there's nothing in our midst as far as he as disease or sickness that Jesus Christ did not address when he was walking on planet Earth. You may say, I've asked him before and it hasn't happened yet. And? How many different ways does your child ask you for what they want? You're wore out now, aren't you? Just trying to think about it. There's no barriers. I mean, there's no shame in them trying to shame you and they don't even realize they're trying to shame you. There's no shame in them. It's like, you know, I was talking to my granddaughter, Liberty, today. It's her birthday. And so I called her and I decided, I was asking her what she had done, and she'd gone out to the pizza place. And I said, oh, that's cool. And she said, yeah, it's the pizza place that we're going to take you to when you come to visit. And I said, oh, you're going to buy me pizza? And she said, oh, no, you're buying the pizza. You're rich. I'm not rich, but I'm buying the pizza. She knows that's just the way it works. Because she doesn't have a job, and she's not going to spend her birthday money on that. Because she knows she's going to get it. What about the God that you and I serve? You see, this isn't about how we feel. This is about what he feels. That's what this miracle is about. So this is not a hype mobile. We haven't got on a giant snow machine and headed off into the mountains. We're not Charlemagne on water skis or on a wakeboard behind a boat. We're down on level earth saying he hasn't changed. And it doesn't matter what you and I feel. It matters what He says. Are there mornings that you don't feel saved? Your wife knows that, so you can go ahead and say yes. There are moments in life where it's not about how I feel. It's about what I know about what He said. And it's what I know about what He says that establishes who I am and my relationship with Him. Because if we just operate on feeling, we can't do that on our salvation. And folks, we can't just do that with the miraculous. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is on His way to heal somebody because He was asked by another person? It wasn't the person in need that it had asked, and it was the other person, and it gets interrupted, and He's not yelling at Jesus. He's not worried. It doesn't say anything about how He feels. He just says, I know if you come, it'll be done. In another place, He just said, I know if you'll just speak the word only, it will happen because I'm a man in authority and I have those under me in authority. This is a Roman centurion. And He says, if I tell them to go do it, they go do it. And I don't have to go make sure that they did it. It just gets done. And that's the way He saw Jesus. He said, you don't even have to go. Just say. Just say it. That's all you need is Him to say it. This lady happened to feel it, but more importantly, Jesus felt her touching the hem of His garment. Oh, friend of mine, I'm asking you and me to push beyond all the times that it didn't happen. I cannot tell you how many dozens of times I went to the front to get prayed for, and I smelled that olive oil getting poured on the preacher's hands, and He just smeared it all over your forehead. He didn't give the lightweight stuff. It was the heavy duty stuff. It wasn't extra virgin light like we saw this morning. Somebody had it and said, pray for it, Pastor. And I said, whoa. She said, Brother Reynolds looked at it and said, it's light oil. Is it really going to get the job done? It's not the oil. The magic isn't in the oil. The magic, not magic, but the reality is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and they'll anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. That's what the book says in James chapter number 5. That's not what I feel, I know. And sometimes what I feel, I don't know. And sometimes what I know, I don't feel. But I know what the Word of God says. And so tonight, I'm asking us to push beyond all those times. I went dozens of times to get prayed for. I had warts all over both arms and both hands. I had over 130 of them. And it just bugged me because it bugged everybody else. And I know I got teased almost every day. But sometimes I chased the girls because they'd get them too if I touched them. Yeah, it's worse than cooties. You can see them. And it was just one of those things that I went through. So I kept getting prayed for. And I remember mom wrapping fenugreek, I think they called it, patting it. It looked like grape nuts that was all wet, and wrapping my arms. And I'd go to bed like a mummy and get up like a mummy. And they were still there and still there. And I remember getting prayed for on a midweek service. And then I went to bed and they were still there. But when I woke up in the morning and I went to take a shower, they were all gone except for one little lump of four of them clustered together on my right knuckle. And I looked down and I was so excited. I was ecstatic. There was an evangelist coming through. And that Sunday night, June the 1st, 1969, I remember going to the altar. I remember what the preacher preached. And he preached something better. And he marched back and forth and said, God called Abraham to something better. And God has something better for you. And he just marched back and forth. And all I remember is something better, something better. And I was just waiting for the altar. Altar call. And when I went to the altar call, it wasn't about what I felt. It was about what I knew. I knew God had healed me of those warts. And I said, if you can do that, then you can feel me with the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, I believed that if He did that, then He could do this. That's what our faith is built on. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory and strength to strength. And the only way we get there is to go through adversity and stick it out and just keep believing and keep trusting and keep saying amen to His word. I feel the Holy Ghost right now, but it's more than feeling the Holy Ghost. It's more than an emotion or even an interaction before me and God and the witness of it in my sensory perception. But when Jesus asked who it was that touched her, verse 33 of Mark 5 says, the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. And he said, well, that was stupid. Nobody's ever done that before. Don't you know that's not how you get healed? Oh, why'd you put that up there? I'm trying to preach what we think. So I'm saying, and sometimes we say, do you know how many times they have been up there to get prayer? This is kooky. I've told this before when we pray about prayer. And I remember a little lady that used to get up every service and we had public prayer requests and say, pray for Jesse and Ellie. Sister Wysa, pray for Jesse and Ellie. If Ed wasn't there, pray for Ed and Jesse and Ellie. Because they weren't saved. And Jesse and Ellie, usually Jesse would pull up outside the church and he'd be out there in his car without a muffler on it, just smoking his cigarette and blowing smoke in people's faces. You said hello to him and he was kind of cranky. And she kept saying, pray for Jesse and Ellie. You knew as soon as she raised her hand, pray for Jesse and Ellie. Jesse and Nellie didn't get saved till she died, and after her funeral they got saved. And just recently at a funeral I saw Nellie still there in church, still worshiping God. God does answer prayer. Don't quit. Just because you didn't get it. Hey, you don't quit going to the doctor. Just saying. Says, well, keep stretching it. Keep working it. Do you have to say that? Can't I just lay on the table and you go, whoop? And we don't quit going and we don't quit paying and we don't quit taking advantage of them. And they're only humans that are practicing medicine. But we're talking about the healer of all our diseases. That's what the Old Testament prophet said. Oh, thou that healest all my diseases. That was his expression of his faith in God. But he turned around in verse 34 and said, daughter, your faith has made you well, go in peace. You have been healed. The final word came from the mouth of Jesus, and the frightened woman stepped forth. She confessed her faith-filled act, and she received a confirmation from the Word of God. Illness had taken advantage of, abused this weary, desperate, financially devastated, faith-filled woman. Your circumstances must not and cannot be allowed to define you. Just because she hadn't been healed yet doesn't mean that she didn't have faith. Don't look at your brother and sister and say they lack faith just because they're walking in illness. Maybe God's going to do something even greater, and the timing of God is impeccable. Your situation is not necessarily a barometer of your faith. Paul said, a day and night, and I spent in the deep, and three times I was whipped and beat within an inch of my life, and I was in peril in the sea and a peril among the false brethren, and I was imprisoned, and he just goes on and on and on and on and on. But he said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And in her desperation, this woman said, a new precedence. And as you stand with me, I'd like for the ministers to come and stand on this first step. Brother Joe, could you hand those out, please? Thank you. And I want to say, When we invite you to come forth and give you a very specific invitation, we need to erase from our thinking our expectation. There's another one in the simulcast room if you need it. That if it doesn't happen exactly like we think it should happen, that it hasn't happened. Is that I believe God is going to heal tonight, physical healing. And I want to challenge us all. Let's not make this about how we feel, but about how He feels when we touch Him. He says He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Old Testament writer said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro about the earth, seeking whom He may show Himself strong in behalf of." That's old King James. In other words, said, if you've got a problem, He's looking at you. That's exactly what it means. And the Bible says, if you're sick, call for the elders and come and be anointed with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. Well, that's kind of a caveat. That's like on top of. This woman stepped out in faith. But the very next chapter of the book of Mark gives this record in chapter 6 and verse 53. And when Jesus and his disciples arrived at Gennesaret on the other side of the lake, they anchored the boat and climbed out. And the people standing there recognized him at once. And they ran throughout the whole area and began carrying sick people to him on mats. Wherever he went, in the villages and cities and out on the farms, they laid the sick in the market plazas and streets, and the sick begged him to let him at least touch the fringe of his robe. And all who touched it were healed. Isn't that amazing? Please. Just let us touch the fringe of your robe. Because one lady said, if then, if I can believe, he can do it. If I can just touch the fringe of his garment, I know that I'll be whole. And what she believed for happened. Now, if you just think with me for just another minute and a half. What do you think she felt the whole time she was moving toward Jesus? Ouch! Ooh! That stinks. Let's go. I mean, she's crawling on the ground between robes and legs. Stinky feet. It's not a pretty sight. It's not about how beautiful it looks. It's not because it's going to be some charade. It's not because somebody's going to be here to catch you and I'm going to blow on you and you're going to fall and they're going to catch you and you're going to go to the ground. And then we know you have faith and you really were healed. Getting to God is sometimes a very messy proposition. But it's not about you. It's about Him. Because if it becomes about Him, then He gets all the glory. And He gets all the praise. And He gets all the adoration. So tonight, I'm asking specifically for those of you that have a physical need to come and stand before one of these men. And I'm pretty sure there's more people than men. But that's all right.